Hey, good morning, friends. Skip here. Welcome to Finding Meaning. Hope all things are well with you. Have had a very interesting morning. You will hear in the background there are lots of animals walking around. You'll probably hear my wife's alarm go off. Who knows? It can be a crazy place around here. So I welcome you. And I welcome you to a celebration day for Finding Meaning. Yesterday we hit 15,000 total listens for the podcast. Now don't be overly impressed. That's over 3 years and over many, many, many episodes. But I'm glad you're listening, and I'm glad some people listen. Some people check it out. I don't advertise. I don't have a book to sell. I don't have a program to sell. I just share my spiritual journey, and if it resonates with you, great. Take what you need, leave the rest. I think that's the way spirituality works best, you know, attraction rather than promotion every time. So in light of that celebration, and then, you know, we're coming up on 3 years here in May. Today we are going to talk about how I came to understand how I understand this. And thus, hopefully, from a different angle, sort of explain and unpack what Finding Meaning is about. So let's get to that. And forgive me if I have to get up and take a tennis shoe away from a puppy. Friends, for the first 50 years of my life, I had good times and bad times, some really bad times and some really good times. Some real sorrowful things happened to me, and many of which I caused, and some real joyful things happened to me. I got to witness my children come into the world. I got to meet the love of my life. But even though all that was happening, and it seemed very normal, I guess, as life goes, I still didn't feel as though I was being me. What was my identity? Well, who was I? You know, I kept asking that deep existential question. And like we all do, I kept searching for things external to me to sort of give me the answer. Even the good things. And yet, I still had this nagging sort of feeling that I wasn't getting the whole story. I sometimes liken it to a sort of homesickness. There was still this sort of nagging homesickness in me that I couldn't quite put my finger on. Got my education, climbed the corporate ladder, got the family, got the 2.5 cars, blah, 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 right? And still, I wasn't fulfilled. Still, I was wondering who I was. Well, that came to a head at around the age of 52. I mean, that frustration finally caused circumstances in my life to have me really examine and really, for the first time, see that I was operating for the first 52 years of my life, and probably still am to some degree, out of a programming, a learned, conditioned programming. What my family told me I was, and what my, you know, religion told me I was, and what my education told me I was, and, you know, what my family told me I wasn't, and what my religion told me I wasn't, and what my education told me I wasn't. And it wasn't that everyone I met was terrible. Met lots of great people. Some are listening to the podcast. It was about me. It was about this nagging suspicion that I lived with, that there was more to the story of being me than I was understanding. And I couldn't quite get to that place where I could understand it. And I remember really the moment, at least I give this moment credit for this. I looked around and for the first time I saw all the things external to me as false. I don't mean always bad, or I certainly don't mean good always, but there's a pretend aspect to being human that people live out of. And for the first time I saw, at the age of around 52, I saw how clearly, I saw it clearly, friends, that not only do I live out of a false understanding of self, because I've been taught a false understanding of self, we all do. And that floored me. That absolutely just brought me to a new understanding of life. That finding meaning comes from that moment. And, you know, I've had to unpack that, as we all have to unpack all of our stuff in life. But, and it, you know, although I can name one moment when it became clear, I can think back and look at all the books I read and all the things I went through and all the spirituality I studied, you know, as a precursor. It was preparing the ground for that moment. Here's what this is about, my friends. We are born into a world that dictates to us by its own prescriptions who we should be. And because we don't know any better, we buy it, we take it. It's all we know, right? So we are labeled, we are told, this is right, that is wrong. We are told this is moral, that isn't moral. We are told that this religion's right and that one's wrong. This political party's right, that one's wrong. And frankly, some are closer to love than others. But we're handed these options and said, well, here you are. You can choose from these options because this is what it really means to be human. And what I have come to understand, and what I try to convey every time I get on the podcast, is that that's a false notion of being human. Those options that we're handed are simply constructs of other people's ideas and notions and theories about what life should be. And that's all they are. But we, since we don't know ourselves, we believe them to be what is the only reality that can be had. And thus we have created a false reality because we don't know ourselves. We're not taught. There's no real mechanism for, maybe psychology comes the closest, but there's no real mechanism to really get to one's own authentic self. Because we have formed, we have been given choices, and we have formed our personality and our persona from those choices, but we're not aware of that. We're not aware that we are actually making a choice because we don't know there's another choice. We believe that, you know, we have to be the star athlete or the, you know, kid who smokes weed under the bleachers, or the valedictorian, or the kid, we're told we have to be the kid who has to have the special help in class, or we're told that, you know, your race is right and others are wrong, or one sex is better than the other, or, you know, we're taught these things. We're taught to think and to function and to find identity in a sense of comparison to others, to other things, and in a sense of transaction, that if I'm just a good enough little boy, I'll get rewarded. If I'm a good enough little girl, I'll get rewarded. And this is what forms us, friends. And then we sit and we scratch our head and wonder why our world is the way it is, or why we don't feel fulfilled or satisfied in our life. Don't get me wrong, life still happens. There's still trials and tribulations no matter what. But what I want to offer to you through what I do is this, that who you've been told to be, what we have been taught to be, what our institutions tell us we must be, is not really reflective of who we are, my friends. Who we are is love and kindness and compassion. We are really generous and not selfish. We are really loving and not hate-filled. We have learned, because we don't know ourselves, how to be hateful, how to be selfish, how to be stingy, how to be self-centered. And we have to own that. We have to realize that we were taught by people who didn't know themselves either how to be human. You know, when you think of it that way, I look back at my parents and I'm like, man, you really had no business raising human beings. Because, God bless them, they had no clue. My father's still alive. I don't have any contact with him because he's very toxic. But my parents had no clue who they were. And because of that, they raised me and my siblings in a way that was ignorant of who we are. That's not their fault. That doesn't mean they're bad people, although they made some really poor choices. We all have. It means that they were just part of a self-perpetuating reality that is unaware of what it really means to be human. You know, you look at businesses, look at religions, look at political parties, look at families. We all do it. The first 52 years of my life, I raised my kids through an ignorant mode of understanding. And we just have to own that that's where we are, you know, who we are and where we've come from. You know, I searched externally. I thought religion would be the answer. I thought self-help might be the answer. I thought finding the love of my life might be the ultimate answer. And what I found is those external things do not answer it. Some are good, some are bad, some help, some don't. But the answer lies within my ability to love. The answer to who I am lies within my ability to be kind. And I don't just mean to act kind or to act loving, but to be those things. And that's tough, my friends, because there's still plenty of frustration in me, still plenty of ignorance. You know, I took 52 years to develop the false self that I have. And it's going to take a while to get total clarity around it. But I'm going to tell you, and I mean this, and I hope you hear the sincerity in my voice and not the puppy trying to chew on my hand. But, you know, who people have told you to be is a reflection of them. Our religious beliefs are a reflection of someone else's concepts. Our political understandings are people who have, for the most part, tried to seek, either for good or for ill, power in the world. Our economics, think about our economics. In order for there to be someone who has, there has to be someone who has not. Think about our religions. In order for a religion to be right, someone else's has to be wrong. What if, my friends, that's the recycle truck is here. I told you it was an odd morning. What if everything was just the way it was supposed to be and we didn't realize it, which is really what I believe. That we really are loving people, and when we live out of that love, that's the way it should be. You know, when you are kind and generous with other people, how do you feel? You feel pretty good, don't you? You feel pretty accomplished. You feel pretty satisfied when you live out of a kindness that doesn't ask for anything in return. Well, folks, I'm convinced that's how we should feel. That's who we really are. We really are that loving being, that kind being. The reason it feels so good to do the right thing, the reason it feels so good to do the loving thing, let me say it that way, that might be a better way to say it, is because that's who we truly are. Now, when we come to that realization, when we come to the realization that we have been programmed by things external to us and not by our own authentic self, we're not living out totally of our authentic self. Some people may be closer than others, but we've all been formed by things external to us. When we come to that realization, that's when the real work of spirituality begins. That's when we have to say, you know, was I taught correctly? Did people teach me to be human in this circumstance correctly? You know, I can't put enough emphasis on this, friends, that you know, the morality that we think we have, the righteousness that we think we seek, the set of beliefs that we believe are going to save us, those are all things handed to us by people who didn't know themselves. And some are right, some are wrong, but we have to find through the basis of love, through the basis of kindness, we have to find ourselves. And that's what finding meaning is about. The meaning in finding meaning is about finding yourself through the access point of love and kindness. And those two are together purposely. I believe love is, for me anyway, the true religion, and that kindness is the sacrament of that religion. And that has transformed my life so profoundly in the last 7 and 8 years, I cannot even express to you more profoundly than anything I have ever experienced in my life. Because for the first time, I'm living to some degree, not perfectly, but to some degree out of my true identity, which is an open, loving, kind, generous, authentic person. Now, I'm not always that because I still have a lot of false programming in me, but I know that's who I am and I know that's who you are. So there you have it, my friends. Happy 15,000th listen. If you've been listening to the podcast for a long time, I'm so grateful for you. If you're new to the podcast, I'm so grateful for you. And I hope that if you know someone this might help, share it. The theory is simple. how we live it out, that's why I keep giving podcasts. There you have it, friends. And I'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Bye-bye.